vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And the place from whence the rivers come, whither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray today that you'll bless us now as we look into your word. I pray you'll give us understanding, give us wisdom, and open up our hearts to receive the things that you have for us today. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. We started several weeks ago studying through the books of the Bible. We started, of course, with the book of Genesis. Went through the next 17 books, which were the historical books. We finished the historical books, and then we began the poetical books. There are five poetical books. And what we're doing is basically learning the theme of each of the books of the Bible. And so we have already learned all the themes of the historical books. Now we're learning the themes of the poetical books. The first of the poetical books, the book of Job, and the key word in the book of Job is suffering. If you remember, Job went through a great time of suffering, but God blessed him in the end. And the thing that we learn from the book of Job is patience in what? Okay, suffering or? All the high school kids know this one. Right, testing, right. Patience in what? Testing. Come on now, you can do better than that. Patience in? Testing. Good night. We're slow today, aren't we? Let's start with the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is, okay, say it with me now. Job is the book, patience in testing. Patience in testing. I've got all day long, folks. Patience in testing. There you go. You're with me now. Patience and testing. And that's what the book of Job is about, is patience and testing. Truth of the matter is, every one of us need patience, because every one of us will be tried. Every one of us will go through a time of testing, and all of us need to learn the patience that we need to have during a time of testing or trial. The second book after Job, the second poetical book, is the book of Psalms. Psalms has been called the songbook of Israel. And Psalms are basically the Israelites sang many of the Psalms that are recorded in the book of Psalms. The primary author of the book of Psalms was David, and David was well known for playing of the harp and for his musical instruments. And so the songbook of Israel, or Psalms, is actually singing to who?
God,
right. So Psalms is singing to God. And that's the theme of the book of Psalms. We ought to have the right kind of music. We ought to remember that we are singing, or ought to bring praises to the Lord in our singing. Truth of the matter is, most singing today, or much singing today, is not done to bring glory to God. It's done to bring emotion to us. It's done to get us moving or do something for us, but it's not to bring glory to God in many cases. And so proper singing is to bring glory to God, so singing to God. The third book we read was the book of Proverbs. The book we studied was the book of Proverbs. Now the key thought, or the key word in the book of Proverbs, is the word wisdom. And we know the first thing we think of when we think of the book of Proverbs is we think of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is simply skill in living. And the theme of the book of Proverbs is living with what? Wisdom. Say it with me. Living with wisdom. All right? We know those three books so far. We know that Job is what? Patience in testing. We know that Psalms is singing to God. And we know that the book of Proverbs is living with wisdom. Okay, so you need to remember those things. And today then we'll begin a new book, the book of Ecclesiastes, the fourth of the poetical books, and that is the book of Ecclesiastes. The book Ecclesiastes, the name Ecclesiastes, actually comes from the Greek word ecclesia. The word ecclesia, or ecclesia, actually means assembly, or means church. That's the word we get our word church from, the word ecclesia. So Ecclesiastes actually comes from Latin, or from the Greek word ecclesia, which means assembly or church. This is an ecclesia in the Greek. This is an assembly. This is a church, a called out assembly. And so the book Ecclesiastes comes from the word ecclesia, which means assembly or church. It carries the idea of someone speaking then to this assembly. So we can picture an assembly gathered together, and the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes is speaking to this assembly, or is bringing a message to this church or this assembly that he's gathered together. Matter of fact, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Matter of fact, the book of Ecclesiastes is known as the book of the preacher, because it's an assembly, and a speaker standing before this assembly or standing before this church and bringing this message to them, or the preacher bringing the message to them. So it carries the idea of a preacher speaking to an assembly. Matter of fact, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 8. It says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." Verse 10 says, "The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth." So beginning in the book of Ecclesiastes, going all through the way through the end, we see that this is the words of the preacher to his church, or to this assembly that he has gathered together. So that's basically the background concerning this book of Ecclesiastes. Of course, the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes, or the author that wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, verse 1 says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." So that tells us who the author is. The author is the son of David, the king of Israel. That, of course, was Solomon. So the author of the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, here's basically what Solomon does. Solomon gathers his family, gathers his relatives, gathers his kinfolks, gathers his servants, gathers them all together in a group, and then brings this message to them. Now, Solomon does this as an older man. Solomon looks over his life, gathers his friends, gathers his relatives, gathers his servants, gathers those around them, brings them together in one big assembly, and then he brings this message to them as an older man. Matter of fact, if you look back at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 again, notice some of the things that he describes. In verse 3, it says, "In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble." Now notice the terminology that he uses in here in description. "The keepers of the house shall tremble." Here's basically what he's saying. The keepers of the house, or he's talking about a time when his hands trembled. So he's talking about a time later on in life now, and Solomon is giving this to his friends, his relatives, his kinsfolks. Teenagers, I want you to look up here. Teenagers, I want you to look up here. I want you to listen now. This is for you. Don't be talking, and we'll have to sit you up here on the front row and sit Brad Diston right there with you. He's mean, too, I'll tell you. And so you better be good right back there, okay? So don't leave. Just sit down. Going to the front, okay, that's good. That's good. And anybody else like to come to the front? Some of you, I think all of us ought to sit in the front row right here. No. And that's good. Well, that's fine. That's good, too. Anybody else want to come? Man, I see the folks moving. The Spirit's moving here today. Right? All right. Now sit up there, and now pay attention now. Everybody, you have your paper with you? No, you don't. You make airplanes with them, don't you? So you just sit there and listen, all right? And so God bless you. So we're talking about the book of Ecclesiastes. This is the preacher bringing the word to the assembly there, or to the church. And he's speaking to them, so he's gathered them all together as an older man. His description tells about how these the keepers of the house shall tremble, or hands shall tremble. Notice the rest of the verse. It says, "And the strong men shall bow themselves." What's he talking about? Talking about his back being bent now. So his hands are trembling and his back is bent. Look in verse 3, continue on. It says, "And the grinders cease because they are few." Okay, you can think of that one. What is that talking about? His teeth now, his grinders. So he's talking about his hands tremble and his back is now bent. And his teeth, he only has a few left. They've ceased their grinding like they used to. He's eating mush now. And it says, "And those that looked out of the windows be darkened." Look out the windows. What's that? His eyes. So his eyes are darkened now. His eyes don't see as good as they used to. His teeth, his grinders don't chew like they used to. His hands tremble now and his back is bent. Look in verse 4. "The doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low." When's the sound of the grinding low? The ears now. He doesn't hear as well as he used to. He used to could hear the grinding. Now he can't hear it quite as well. So he's given a description. He said, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And now he doesn't sleep as well as he used to. Boy, he gets up early in the morning. As soon as that bird makes a chirp, he jumps out of bed. And says, all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, he has some fear now, and fear shall be in the way. The almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fall. Doesn't have the strength he used to have. He has even lost his appetite, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. So he's given a description now. So here's the picture of the book of Ecclesiastes. By the way, this book is probably one of the most misunderstood books in all the Bible. Now you need to realize that, okay, Solomon has gathered his family together, gathered his relatives together, gathered his servants, and now he's an older man looking back over his life. And he brings them together, and basically what he's telling them is, now as an older man, as I look back over my life, don't follow my footsteps. That's basically what he's telling them. I want to teach you some things. I want you to learn some things, and you can learn some things by watching my life. And so he's trying to explain to them, don't follow in my footsteps. My life has not been the fruitful life it could have been. Don't do as I have done, because my life has ended up, here I am an older man now and can't do the things that I used to, and now even all the things that I had under the sun are not even happiness or pleasant to me anymore. All the things I had mean nothing to me now. They're vanity. They're emptiness. And that's what he's telling them. As a matter of fact, the key word of the book is vanity. We've seen that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 8. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And as you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that word vanity used over and over and over again. Here's what the word vanity means. Come on up here and have a seat, young people. Here's what the word vanity means. Actually means emptiness. Vanity means emptiness. It actually comes from a root word which means to be led astray. I want you to understand this. Every one of us has a perfect will of God to live in. Every one of us has a purpose that we ought to live upon this earth. Every one of us, God has placed us on this earth for a reason, and he has a perfect will for us to live in. Now what happens is, if we live within that perfect will, we live in happiness and fullness and peace and joy. If we miss that perfect will, or if we are led astray out of that perfect will, we end up in vanity. That's what he's teaching here. Solomon is saying, I messed up. My life has been vanity of vanities. My life, I look back over my life, and although I had everything you could mention, everything you could think of, I owned and I had control of, my life has ended up in vanity. All is vanity. Vanity of vanities has my life been. And that's what Solomon is saying. And every one of us ought to learn a lesson from the life of Solomon. Here's a man that had everything that most people desire. And he said, all of that meant nothing to me. As I grow old, it was nothing but vanity of vanities. It was nothing. I have emptiness. To look back over my life is just empty now. That my life is just about over. Emptiness, and we'll have emptiness for all of eternity because he did not use his life for the glory of God and live his life for the Lord. So that's what he's saying here. He's saying vanity. Now, vanities means emptiness. Comes from the word to be led astray. What he was saying is, I've been led out of the perfect will of God. And when you get led out of the perfect will of God, you're going to live a life of emptiness. You'll look back over your life and say, what has my life amounted to for God? What have I done that I can stand before God and stand in all of eternity looking back on and say, I accomplished that in my life? Many folks look over their life and they've accomplished a nice car and a nice home, and that's about it. And they can't even take that with them. The only thing you can take with you are your kids and those you lead to Jesus. That's it. All you can take. And he looked over his life and said, man, I even lost my family. Lost my son. Lost the kingdom. Lost everything. And my life is vanity. The key phrase in the book we've seen also, as we've read, as a matter of fact, in verse 9 it says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Over and over we see the phrase, under the sun. So here's what he's saying. He's saying everything under the sun is vanity. Anything that's under the sun is emptiness and leads to nothing in the Christian life. And so here's what he's saying in the book then. The key word is vanity. The key thought is, or the key phrase is, under the sun. He had his mind during his life, he kept his eyes on things under the sun and ended up in emptiness and ended up in vanity. Matter of fact, let's look at some of the things that he had under the sun. He had everything under the sun. Look in chapter 2, verse 15. It says, then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. Why was I then more wise? Then I also said in my heart, that this also is vanity. Here's what he was saying. He was saying, I had wisdom. I had more wisdom than any man that ever walked the face of the earth had. But human wisdom is vanity. And that's what he was saying is, I had wisdom under the sun. He was known as the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth. And look at the foolish way he lived his life. He had wisdom, as far as man goes. He had more wisdom than any man that's ever lived, as far as man's concerned. And he was saying, that wisdom, I had it. And I had more wisdom than anybody ever had and that's ever lived had. But that wisdom is vanity under the sun. Look at secondly, he said in verse 19 of chapter 2. And who knoweth whether he shall be wise man or fool? Yet shall I have rule over all my labor, whether I have labored. Wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun, this also is vanity. He had human labor. He said, I had labor. I worked under the sun. And my work is emptiness. My work is vanity. All the work I did under the sun. Look in chapter 4, verse 4. It says, again, I considered all travail and every right work, and for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, I was envied of my neighbors. I had earthly success. He said, when people looked at my life, they envied me. They said, if I could have had the life that Solomon lived. There are folks that live today that are the envy of other folks. They look at them and say, man, look at all the money they've got. If I had that money. Or look at all their fame that they had. If I had that fame, I'd be happy. Or look at all the success they have. If I was as successful as they were, I'd be happy. The truth of the matter is, it's all vanity under the sun. That's what he's saying. I had earthly success. And in my success was just vanity. Look in verse 16 of chapter 4. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not receive in him. Surely this is vanity and vexation of spirit. He was saying, there's people all over. There's no end to the people that know my fame. There's no end to the people that know what I, Solomon, have accomplished upon this earth. Solomon had fame under the sun. He was famous. He was well known. People knew Solomon. But he said even that was vanity. He said my wisdom was vanity under the sun. He said my human labor was vanity under the sun. He said my earthly success was vanity under the sun. He said I was famous. People came from all over the world just to see the splendor of Solomon. But that was vanity, he said. Look in chapter 5 and verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. You know what he's saying? I had all the money I wanted. I had big, beautiful palace. I had money, gold, silver. He said, I was the richest man that lived on the face of the earth. But that was vanity. I had all the money I could want. It was vanity. He said, I had earthly success. That was vanity. He said, I had fame. That was vanity. I had labor. That was vanity. I had money. That was vanity. I had wisdom. That was vanity. Look in chapter 8, verse 10. So I saw the wicked buried, and who had come and gone from the face of the holy, that they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Verse 14. There is vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happen according to the work of the righteous. I said that this is also vanity. He said people gave me awards for the things I've accomplished. That's also vanity. Even the awards that I received while I lived here upon the earth, people would give me awards for that. Gave me the key to the city. That's vanity. So they gave me awards for my wisdom. That's vanity. All my things that I had received were done under the sun. That's the sad thing about Solomon's life. Solomon had everything. He was the envy of people. He had fame, fortune, human awards. People looked up to, people envied him. Had everything you could want, everything you could imagine. Solomon had it. But at the end of his life, he said, it was all emptiness. I've lived an empty life, and I have nothing to show for all of eternity because of the life that I lived. Everything that I did under the sun. Here's basically what he's teaching us. The only way you're going to have true happiness is not what you've got under the sun, but what you've got above the sun. That's what counts. What have you got stored up above the sun for all of eternity? Solomon said, boy, down here I was known. They weren't rejoicing too much above the sun about me. Boy, down here I was famous. I wasn't too famous in heaven. Boy, down here I had money. But I haven't laid store much up in heaven. Boy, down here I had awards. But I don't have nothing to lay at Jesus' feet one day. Boy, down here I was well known. Up there, they just don't know me in heaven. And what a sad thing to live your life and one day go to an eternity in heaven and have nothing to show for the time that you spent here upon this earth. To live for all of eternity. You get your fame down here, you're not going to have much up there. You go ahead and gather all your riches here. And you may be rich for 70 years, but I'd rather be rich for all of eternity. You may be famous for 70 years, but I'd rather be famous for all of eternity. I'd rather shine like the brightness of the firmament. I'd rather shine like the stars forever and ever. The Bible says you be a soul winner, and God says, I'll share my glory with you, and you'll shine forever. You gather up all the gold down here, and you might shine for 70 years, but nobody will see you for all of eternity. What are you doing? Are you living for things under the sun, like Solomon? Or are you living for things above the sun? And that's basically the teaching of the book of Ecclesiastes. Folks get the whole book. This is probably the favorite book of the atheists. Oh, they like the book of Ecclesiastes. Say, see there, things are vanity. You better believe they're vanity. And every atheist in the world lives a vanity life, empty life. And Solomon was saying, don't you live like I lived. My whole life was vanity. My whole life was emptiness. I lived my life and I've come down to the time when my grinders have ceased and I'm eating mush and my back is bent and my hands tremble and my eyes don't see as well anymore and my ears can't hear anymore and I look back over my life and it's vanity. Emptiness. Nothing to show for it. Young people, every one of you ought to decide, I'll not live my life for vanity. You ought to decide, I'll live my life for eternity. And when I get to heaven, I'll have something up there for all of eternity. And I'll not live just for the money of this world. I'll live for God's blessings, and I'll live for eternity. And that's what Solomon is trying to teach the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon is saying, don't live like I've lived. All the things were vanity. Solomon was teaching that there is no happiness under the sun. True joy comes from things above the sun. And that's where the joy comes from. What are you doing for eternity? Are you living for the blessings of eternity? Or are you living for the things here upon this earth? The key verses of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Look at those with me, if you would. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Notice he said in verse 8, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Know what he's saying is? I had everything, but I wasn't satisfied. Had all the money, but I wanted a little bit more. Had all the fame, but I wanted a little bit more. Had human awards, they didn't satisfy me. I had palaces. I had everything you could imagine, but I still wasn't happy. You know, it's amazing to watch. It's amazing to see the folks that come and go. And folks that sit in church and just aren't happy. They have no joy, no happiness. They're tried the things of the world, and they're the most miserable people you ever saw in your life. They look for happiness, and when that happiness wears off, they got to have something bigger to make them happy again. Got to have more money to make them happy. Got to have more of this to make them happy. Got to have more booze to make them happy. Got to have more drugs to make them happy. Got to have another cigarette to make them happy. Got to have something else to make them happy. And it always wears off. That marijuana wears off. The cocaine wears off. The booze wears off. And you're still back to the same place you were, only worse off than you started. There's no happiness in the world. Rock music wears off. You got to listen to another one. You got to find something more ungodly than the one that they played before. You got to put on a bigger show than they did before. Biting off rat's heads wasn't big enough. They got to find something bigger to do now. You know, it's all vanity. It's all emptiness. It's all nothing to it. You can live your life chasing those things. Your life will end up vanity, emptiness. And Solomon is saying, don't live like I lived. Learn a lesson from my life. I had everything under the sun, but that doesn't bring happiness. Happiness comes from above the sun. When reading the book of Ecclesiastes, remember this. God put every book in this Bible for a purpose. And every time, what we need to do is find out what the purpose that God placed the book for. If we don't get the purpose of the Bible, or get the purpose of the book, and that's why there's so many cults running around today, because they don't have the purpose of what this book was written for. They don't have the purpose of each of the books. When God didn't put this book in the Bible just because he had an empty space there. God put the book of Ecclesiastes in the Word of God because it was important for us to learn this important lesson right here. We need to learn that selfish living, it brings vanity. You live for self and live to try to please self and you'll be the most unhappy. You're trying to please yourself and you're the most unhappy thing that ever walked the face of the earth. Selfish living brings unhappiness. That's what he's trying to teach us. Matter of fact, the theme of the book is selfish living never satisfies. Selfish living never satisfied. The more you seek to satisfy self, the less you're satisfied. The more you seek to satisfy somebody else, the more you're satisfied. You try to satisfy yourself, and you look for all the pleasures that can make you happy, and you'll end up being unhappy. Happiness is not something to search for. Happiness is a byproduct of living for the Lord. Joy is not the goal. Joy is just a byproduct of living for the Lord. Young people, now look up here. Sit still. Fold your hands. There you go. And selfishness, all that does is bring emptiness and bring vanity. And he's saying, don't live for the things under the sun. Live for the things above the sun. So God put this in the Bible so to record people's thoughts when they live selfishly. This is the thought of a man who lived a selfish life upon this earth. And God recorded it in the Word of God to show us what a man's thoughts are at the end of his life who's lived a selfish life. God placed this in the Bible so we can see what God thinks about those who live selfishly. God said, Solomon, I want you to write down now your life. Put down your thoughts now. What you feel after living a long life upon this earth and after living for yourself, living for the pleasure of this life, I want you to record it for all man to see. And God says, now people, here's the thoughts of a man who's lived a selfish life. Learn from his life. Learn not to live the life that he lived and learn to live a life for others and living for God and doing the things that please him. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let me show you the conclusion of the entire book. Solomon, for 11 chapters now, puts down all the vanities. In 12 chapters, put down all the vanities of life that he has lived. Everything under the sun is vanity. And then he finishes up his message with these two verses, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, I've told you everything I've owned. I've told you everything I've had. I've told you all that I've gone through. I've told you the emptiness of my life and the vanities of my life. Now here's the conclusion of everything I told you. Here's what he said. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Look back in verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I had no pleasure in them. He said, start when you're young. Go back to the time when you're young, or you start when you're young, and do these things right here. Fear God and keep his commandments. Said, young people, so he gathered his family together, gathered his relatives, and gathered his kinfolks and his friends and his servants, and gathered them all around him. He said, now I'm an old man. My eyes are dim and my ears don't hear like they used to. My back is bent and my hands tremble. And I just don't see like I used to see. My teeth just can't chew. They don't grind like they used to. And let me tell you something from my life. Many of you looked at my life and you said, that's the kind of life I want to live. But he said, my life has been a life of vanity. Don't follow my life. My life's been vanity. But here's what you do. I've tried to tell you that everything's vanity under the sun. I've tried to tell you that my life has been vain and empty. I've tried to tell you that. Here's what you do. Fear God and keep his commandments. If you'll do that, he's saying, you'll not write the book of Ecclesiastes one day about your life. And you'll not gather your folks around one day and say, my life was wasted, don't waste yours. My eternity is empty, and my life's empty. Don't make yours empty. Do something that'll account for all of eternity. Live for something above the sun. Live for eternity. Your life upon this earth is vanity. It's like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. You live your 70. But what you do during that 70 determines what your eternity is going to be. Don't live your life for vanity. Do something for God. Do something that you can have in eternity for all of eternity. Do something for eternity. Don't live for today. Living for this life brings emptiness. Live your life for above the sun, not for under the sun. That's the whole thought in the book of Ecclesiastes. As you read through the book of Ecclesiastes now, realize Solomon is talking as an old man, looking back over his life and explaining how everything is vanity under the sun. And begin your life this way, fearing God and obeying his commandments. And that's the lesson you can learn from the book of Solomon and from the life of Solomon. It's not to live the way Solomon lived, but to fear God and keep his commandments. I've never known anybody to live their life for God that was sorry they did it. Never have. But you find many folks that say, if I could have those years over again, how differently I would have lived them. That's basically what Solomon is saying. If I could have those years over again, I'd fear God and keep his commandments. Don't you live the way I lived. The theme of the book of Ecclesiastes is selfish living never satisfies. And that's the theme we ought to live. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, bless now this study in the book of Ecclesiastes and help us to learn from your blessed book the right way to live, a life that's pleasing to you by fearing you and keeping your commandments. Help us now this week, we pray, in Jesus' name.